Good to see everybody today. We're continuing on with a series about going a new direction. So far, we've considered the concept of redirection and U-turns on our spiritual journey. Some folks have told me that they've been challenged, encouraged to get back on track because they recognize they had got off track. Others have thought that the messages reinforce the Spirit's prompting for them to make some changes and some course corrections in their life. Others told me it reminded them at least they need to keep on track. So providing we are making the adjustments we need to get on track and are making the commitment to stay on track, how do we do that? How do we at least keep from straying off course once we start on track? How do we stay the course? How do we do that? It's important that we think about that, we give some thought to that, because the course we're taking is important. We need to analyze that, whether we're following God's direction. But again, how do we stay on course once we are started down that road? Because, I mean, to be honest, isn't that an issue for some of us? Maybe all of us? We have these great intentions about making changes, and perhaps even get started, you know, in the right direction, but we either go up in flames on the launch pad, or we just fizzle out before long. We've tried and we failed so many times that now our issue is we fail to try. Maybe it's a resolution that we've made to lose weight with this new regimen of diet and exercise. Or, you know, we're going to start the one we started that was working, but for some reason we stopped it. We're going to restart. Maybe we made a decision to stop some bad habit. We realize it's not good, it's destructive, you know, to us. Maybe it's not healthy to us physically or to our relationships, and so we want to stop that habit. Maybe we plan to get some long overdue project either started or finished. You ever had one of those where you got an idea, make a project, a resolution, I'm going to do this year, and you don't even get it started, doesn't get off the drawing board, you know? Or you do start it, but something happens. Something else hinders you, gets you sidetracked, and you don't finish it. So maybe that's it. Hopefully, you know, the resolution this year would be to start it and finish it, to get it done. But, you know, there are those that are ongoing. It's not just a matter of I start this and I'm finished in this year. And no, but it's a resolution that this is going to be a new lifestyle. And this is continuing. And we might need to make the resolution each year to keep on track. Again, see, stay the course of what we've decided to do. We made a resolution before, but whatever solution we opted for, maybe it didn't get us off the ground. Or it didn't seem to work in the long term. It didn't work for us. The only lead balloon I can think of that ever had a successful flight was Led Zeppelin, and some would dispute even that, whether that was, but, you know, sometimes you have those planes that they're like a lead balloon. They just don't get off the ground. They don't seem to quite work. Maybe we've been determined to spend more time with our family or take a much-needed respite, a vacation for ourselves. But it never gets firmly set in our calendar, let alone followed through within our life. It just doesn't happen. Perhaps, and I hope this would be true of us, that our resolutions are a bit more spiritual in nature. And those other things, they could be actually good, and they could be God-prompted and necessary. But maybe your resolutions are even more spiritually focused than that. Maybe you've resolved it. This is the year that you're going to publicly confess Jesus. But, you know, you've been believing. You've been thinking about this for a while, but you haven't stood up and said, I'm going to stand with him. You haven't done that. Maybe you haven't yet been baptized into Christ. That's been on your mind, your heart to do, but you just haven't come to that place yet. Maybe you've made a resolution. I'm going to attend church more regularly this year than I did last year. I'm going to be more committed to that. I'm understanding the importance of that. Maybe you're going to bite the bullet and commit to this body of believers to grow with us as we serve in the community. Maybe that's been something you've been thinking about, wondering about, you know, putting off. But maybe this is the year you'll do that. You've made the resolution to do that. Maybe this is the year that you're going to follow through with that resolution you made last year. You're finally going to read through the whole Bible from cover to cover. Last year you got bogged down in Leviticus or Numbers. so you left it. But you said, you know, I'm going to do it this year, but so far you haven't got past the table of contents. Maybe you haven't even got there yet, but you're resolved to do that. Maybe that's your resolution. Maybe you've decided to be more faithful in living out something that God's Word has been convicting you about for a long time, but you just haven't moved on it yet, like volunteering to teach or to help in some ministry. Maybe you've said before, and you're saying it again this year, I'm going to visit the sick. I'm going to share my faith with family and friends. And though you've been thinking about doing something again this year, you've been saying that, and you're really ready to start doing something, but just thinking about something, it hasn't happened yet. Matter of fact, some of us are here today, and we would admit that already we had a resolution, we had an idea, we had a thought in our mind back, you know, on December 31st, but we haven't moved off go yet. Or we did, and it's like our plans start falling apart right before our eyes for some reason. How many know that you can make plans and life happens? That you can make plans and there are things that happen that deter you from following through. And how many know that sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes it's the devil who's the one tripping you up? He's the one who doesn't want you to fulfill his plans. And he's the one who's trying to dissuade you. Maybe. No matter what the resolution, you got to get on course before you can stay on course. We've spent a lot of time with that, but here are some things, again, I want you to consider, no matter what the resolution might be that you're making. First of all, of course, and we've spent a lot of time on this, consult God. You got to consult God. Stressed it over and over. We will continue to do that. Consult God. Make sure that what you're resolved to do has His approval. One of my go-to passages in this regard is Proverbs 3. Verse 5 and 6, some of you could quote it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. In all your ways. And I'm emphasizing that for a reason. We compartmentalize too often. We consult God about some things, but not all things. There are certain things that, yes, we will pray about, we'll consult, we'll ask Him, you know, what do you want me to do about this, God, or give me direction, or help me with this, but not all things. But we should do it with everything. Maybe we don't consult Him about certain things because we don't think it would concern Him. This is something that, well, He doesn't care, or He wouldn't have any thoughts about, or He, you know, this is just something that I'm not going to consult Him about. Maybe that's the issue, the reason we don't consult Him about a certain thing. Or maybe there's this one too. We don't consult Him because we already have a pretty good idea of what He thinks about it. And we would just as soon seek forgiveness as permission. None of us on that page ever been, right? But we would maybe, you know, I'm not going to consult Him because this is something I want to do, and I kind of in my heart of hearts know He's not going to think this is the best thing, or this is not something that He would encourage me to do. But if we want to succeed, as we've seen time and again, we'd better not approach things like that. David says in Psalm 10, verse 4, that a prideful person doesn't seek God. In his arrogance, there isn't any room for God in his thoughts. That surely shouldn't be true of us. About any thing. God should be in the forefront of our mind and His desire, His will, His plans for us in every decision, in everything. Right? Now, in Luke 14, Jesus particularly also addresses becoming one of his followers. That's what he's talking about, but he gives us a broad application. In verse 28 through 30, he says, should one of you build a tower, won't he first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has the money to complete it? For if he says the foundation is there and he lays it and he isn't able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying this guy couldn't finish what he started. Now, Jesus is certainly saying that this is about following him, about counting the cost of that. But I think it's interesting that, see, he's referring to everyday kind of decisions and seeing the logic and the reason behind that applies to following him too. So the concept of thinking through a decision before making it is wise to do in whatever plans we're making, in whatever resolutions we're making. What sacrifices might be necessary? What might I have to give up? What effort might I have to make in order to fulfill this? Think about that. How many people have made a resolution within a few days or weeks said something like, I didn't realize it was going to be this hard. I didn't think it would take this much willpower. I didn't think I have to do without this or that. I didn't think it was going to take this long. But Jesus says that with every resolution, with every resolve, with everything, particularly in following him, we should count the cost. Count the cost. And make sure you're willing to pay it. So many times, see, people make plans without counting the cost. And no wonder there's so many half towers, so many things laying in ruins or not completed in our lives when we don't do that. Now, again, consult God, count the cost, but then here you go. Done that, hope you've done that, you do those things, now it's time to launch out. In regards to service in his kingdom, and particularly when it comes to evangelism, Jesus once told his disciples to launch out into the deep. You may remember the scenario there. The disciples have been fishing all night, didn't catch anything. Jesus comes along and he says to them, and they're fishermen, he says, launch out into the deep and cast your nets out again. And they trust him, and they do that, and they find what? Success. Great success. That principle applies to everything, not just evangelism, that we believe Jesus is convicting us to do. Anything that we believe Jesus is telling us to do, prompting us to do, moving us to do, the principle applies. If he's on board and we're ready to let him captain the ship to make the calls, to tell us what to do, if we're ready and willing to do that, even if it makes no sense to us, then guess what? It's time to weigh anchor, set sail, and leave port. It's time to do that. Too many of us are still tied to the docks, waiting for the perfect conditions or some miraculous sign from above when he's already told us what he wants us to do. We've already become convicted, convinced of what he wants us to do, how he wants us to move, what we're supposed to do, and we're still not doing it. Got to launch out. You can't stay on course if you're not on course. If you're just thinking about the course, you got to get on course. You got to launch out. It may be fear that has us moored, still tied to the dock. It may be our past failures and mistakes and shortcomings. It may be our feelings of inadequacy. We may feel like we're losers and there's no way we can possibly. We've made our best efforts. Think about the scenario again with them. They fished all night. No success. But once Jesus says, hey, I'm telling you, go out. Launch out into the deep. And you do this again. You try this again. How many have tried some things that you were really convinced it was from God, but you know, you didn't see success in because perhaps you didn't, once again, launch out with faith in faith, believing and trusting that He would give you success. Does that happen in your life? Have you come up empty? They're like, what's the point of trying? See, that's where the disciples were in that scenario. But once again, if we believe He's on board, and we're going to let Him truly be the captain of our ship, then it's time to launch out. If we've consulted Him and convinced it's His will for us to do something, the time for waiting's over. It's time to get moving on course. You can't stay on course if you're not even on course. So you gotta get started. And once you do that, don't look back. Don't look back. Why? That's not the way we're going. That's not the way we're going. Jesus once said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Luke 9:62. Why would he say that? He's referring to something they would understand in the natural about a spiritual thing. But once again, he's saying, you know, that doesn't work in life. It doesn't work in life to do that. To try to go forward, always looking back. It doesn't work. And it won't work following him. It won't work with any resolution you make in finding and fulfilling your goal. It won't work. We can't stay on course if we're always looking over our shoulder. You can't. Try that driving down the highway. Are you going to swerve a little bit? Or are you probably going to leave your lane? Or maybe could be tragic. Don't do that. Yeah, I know you're supposed to check those rearview mirrors periodically, but don't stare at them for too long. Don't be looking back. Or you're not going to go very far forward. And you're certainly not going to stay on course. You're not going to. We've got to forget about the past mistakes. We've got to forget about the failures. We've got to stop lingering upon and maybe even longing for what we have given up as well. Lot's wife found that out the hard way. If you know that story, remember she looked back and turned to a pillar of salt. She found out the hard way. Don't look back. Move forward. When God's calling, moving, and leading, follow. Don't look back. Don't do that. And if we have counted the cost and decided it was worth it, keep moving forward. There you go. Keep your forward focus. And check the charts often. Keep checking the charts. To make sure we stay on course, once we're moving in the right direction, we need to have checkpoints. You need to do that. How many of you, when you're traveling from one place to another, pay attention to checkpoints? Maybe it's just a mile marker. Maybe it's a certain city exit that you pass by. Or maybe it's crossing over state line and you recognize, okay, yeah, this is my checkpoint. I'm getting closer to my destination. I'm getting closer. You pay attention to those things. If you've ever run in any kind of a race, whether it be a foot race or maybe a cross-country race in a car, I've not done that. I've always thought it'd be cool to do. But many times on those courses, they'll have checkpoints for you to pass by, and people will wave you on. And guess what that tells you? You're on course. You're on course. You're going the right direction. Stay on course. Those checkpoints are so vital and important. It helps us to monitor, see, and check progress. It helps us to make sure, again, we are headed in the right direction. We are on course. Any program for success will include some tools, some ideas for keeping track and keeping on track. Matter of fact, industries focus on positive change. They market these things all the time. Industries that focus upon positive change, they market tools. Anybody here ever been a Weight Watcher? Nina has a Weight Watcher app, you know, on her phone. You know, and it's to, you know, monitor and track your progress, you know, and she's doing that. That's great, that's wonderful. See, but it's a tool to help keep you on track. You know, and if you look at it, say, whoa, I'm off course here. You know, oh, well, man, I've gone off the road here. You know, then what? Get back on track. It's not like, oops, might as well throw this thing away, give up, quit, right? That's not the point of it or purpose. Just help you keep on track. As for us, see, we need to look to the heavens for our bearings. We need to do that. But instead of trusting the stars, like you would if you were, you know, on a cruise or like they did so long ago before they had all the modern instruments, we got to look to the one who made those stars, who hung them there. In Psalm 119, 105, David said that God's word was a light to his path, and it can be for us too. It can be there for us to help us to check and see, are we still on course? We look to Jesus, we look to his words, his teaching, we look to God's instruction. It will let us know when we're off course, and it'll help us to get back on course. It'll redirect us. You can sure track your progress. Am I making progress? Some of us might feel like we're not. If you're a Christian, been a Christian for any length of time, somebody comes up to you and they would say, you know, you haven't changed a bit. It's been a long time since I saw you. They're probably not being totally honest. They're being kind and cursed, but they're probably not being totally honest, because we do change. But hopefully we're changing for the better. And if we're Christians, we ought to be changing for the better. There ought to be progress, measurable progress, as we look to Jesus, we look to his word. Are we becoming more like him? Are we fulfilling our goal? Is that happening? And if it's not, you don't quit. You don't give up. No, you just consult him, check the charts, ask for his help, and keep moving. Oh, by the way, there's an app for that. I use YouVersion, okay, on my phone. It's a Bible version, okay? Yeah, and now, we mentioned this a couple times, but keep moving forward. Sounds simple enough, right? Just keep moving forward. If we stumble and fall, what do? Give up or get up? What are we going to do? Get up. Get up. Dust yourself off and get moving again. If we fall off the wagon, do we blind the dust? Or do we get back on and move on? What's our temptation? Let that wagon go. Just let that go. Or I'm not moving that direction anymore. I'm just done. I quit. No, we're not quitters here, are we? Shouldn't be. Paul wrote to the Philippians, this one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 3, 12, 13. In other words, full speed ahead. Full speed ahead. This is certainly a direct call for us to press on as we're striving to be more like Jesus. That's what it is. But again, here we have this trustworthy principle that can be applied to every facet of our life. Press on toward your goal. You believe it's what God wants you to do, what God has in store for you, then press on towards the goal. I messed up. I failed. I fell. Forget about that. Press on. Press on. The more concentrated we are on going forward, the less likely we are to backslide. You know that? It's just a fact. I was thinking earlier in the service, as we were singing in our praise service, a couple of principles in the songs. One of them was, it's my joy, your will, your way, not mine. And the idea of desiring his presence. Let me tell you something I've discovered. That the more his presence is truly what we desire, and the more joy we discover in his will, his way, following his plan, it's like the Spirit of God just fills our sails. He's the wind beneath us. He's the wind moving us. He just fills our sails. That's what I found when I'm moving in his will. And the more I do that, the more joy I discover in doing his will. The more I find his way is the right way. It's the best way. It's the only way. That's a fact. It's truth. And the more that happens, the more I desire to give him control. To lay myself down, yes, and give it to him. So how do we stay on track? Gotta launch. Gotta do that. Once we've consulted him, once we've counted the cost, launch, listen to him. He's saying, go, it's time to go. Ready, set, go. 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 Head out. Launch out in this. And then once again, don't be looking back. Check your charts often. Yes, and keep moving forward. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you in Jesus' name for your grace and mercy, for your patience, for your love. I want to thank you, God, for all that you do and are doing in our lives. And Father, for the direction you're willing to give us and the support along the way. God, I know, and we're going to spend some time with this, how great it is to have support and encouragement of the body of Christ. And we'll deal with that some more, Father. We know that's true. But Father, help us, each one of us, to personally resolve that we are going to be committed to get on course and stay on course. And we're committed to do that this year. And if that means that we just stay on course with what we began last year, we're being true to that, we're following through with that, we're seeing the blessings, we're experiencing the joy of that, then God, may we just have even more resolve to continue on. And may we recognize there are some people who maybe they're on the edge. They are still tied to the dock. God, we pray that our moving forward and our encouraging them can help them to weigh anchor and set sail with you. God, we give you, we give Jesus, we give your Spirit permission. We lay ourselves down for you to lead us and guide us. And we are committing to go with you wherever that takes us. And we know it'll be better than we are now. It'll be a better place. Thank you, God. If there's anyone here today who just hasn't really made that decision we talked about, it's been on their heart, it's been on their mind to confess Jesus, but they haven't yet, we pray, Father. We pray, Father, you will convict them through your Spirit. But make that good confession. No greater decision they can make in their life. In Jesus' name, amen.